Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. I love Him. The Lord loves us. Jesus loves us so much that He died for us. Not only did He die for us, He sits at the Father's right hand and intercedes for His people that He died for. He's our high priest. And as He is, so are we in this world. He left us in charge on earth to do His will. He said, all power in heaven and earth is given to me, and I give unto you power. And he also said he gave us power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the devil. And He ascended. He said, I give unto you. They want to know the times and the seasons. He said, it's not for you to know the times and the season. But I've given you power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. We have what we need to sustain this world and to help. Now, I want to explain something. Yesterday's broadcast, I did a radio broadcast yesterday. And at the end of it, I mentioned that when the Lord told me about an upcoming war, He showed me He gave me two dreams about it, which meant it was certainly so. The second dream, I dreamt that I was at a house, and it was my house, but it was made different. It had a door with the windows, six panel windows and a curtain over it. You know, had the mudden windows, you know, the six panel windows. And I couldn't see who was back there. I knew somebody was there. They didn't even knock. I knew they were there. I just knew they were there. I said, who is that out there? What do y'all want? And then a gun barrel went through the glass, right at my midsection. There was no way for me to get out of the way if he pulled that trigger. And then I woke up immediately. I went outside. I'm not outside, but I looked out all the windows of my house. And everything was normal. I got back in bed. I said, Lord, what was that about? And He said, it's at the door. And I considered this dream. I had another one that Russia sent some vintage World War II planes. They were old. They were propellers. They weren't like jets. You know, you would have mistaken it for just a private aircraft, you know. But it was a World War II jet, painted civilian. But it had nuclear bombs on the bottom. And it went out towards Miami and banked and turned back and shot two missiles in the mainland. And then it had the rocket launchers on the bottom. And when it shot them, the sky turned red. And I was like, with those dreams, and the Lord saying it's at the door, I'm alerted now. And I'm like, what do I do? It took me about 3 days before I did something. But I said, the Lord gave me that dream so I could intercede. It dawned on me. I thought about some of the old messages God gave me. And I said, Satan, you'll never start a war while I'm on the ground. I know the war's coming, but it needed to be delayed. Now, how can somebody believe God for something like that? Well, if God give you something, that means that you're able to do something about it by faith. See, we don't do God's work out of our mind and we don't just come up with stuff out of our own will. We don't originate the process of what to do. See, the priest wore linen that didn't cause sweat. All of the organization of God's word and what to do comes from Him. When He gives you something, you have the faith to do it. And even if you didn't, He'll give you the gift of faith. A situation like that, all I had to do was speak what was in my heart in authority, and the Lord would back me up. And I once asked the Lord, how does the gift of faith work? He said, as long as you're in faith, then God will give you the faith that you need to get the job done. And I spoke the words of God in it. And that was, 2 years ago. That was 2019 when that happened. So it worked. Now, they were going to attack the mainland. And why? And I mean, this is something that didn't have to happen. And it didn't have God. When God brings something to you, you must do something with it. When we follow God and stay, you can't just go by what people do. You have to go by what He's doing. What is He saying to you? How is He saying it? What is God bringing to you? And what are you doing with the revelation that He brings to you? If He brings to you something for a reason, you must see it through. And if you don't, people will die. Or things will go wrong. They don't have to go wrong. Well, some people will say, well, God will raise up somebody else. Really? How many people did He attempt to use before He got to you? People say no more than they say yes. Well, maybe, hopefully not, but people say no often. I would hate to believe that people will just say no, but I know how people do. Sometimes I hear so many people say, something told me to pray, something told me to do this. And most of the time, if it's embarrassing, they're not going to say anything. Rarely people will say the Lord woke me up and had me praying in the Holy Spirit. Rarely does that happen. And it happens with me. Whenever the Lord wake me up and have me praying in the Holy Spirit, I jump into it immediately. But people are, nowadays, they're not, you know, they'll shrug it off and go back to sleep. This is why things go wrong. If God was in control, things would go right. But He's not entirely in control. On earth, we're in control. He has to work through us. And when people are deceived and they use deception and they compromise, then God has to work around that. He can't use it. He's about to return. So many people, he keep telling me that people that don't know His word, they're going to suffer. They're not going to make it. If people don't start studying the Word of God, receiving His Word and doing it as a way of life, they're not going to know God. And when the strange things happen, they're not going to be ready. There's a storm coming, folks, and it's unlike anything you've seen. And people say, "Would I be raptured?" Really? I'm gonna tell you who's not going to go in the rapture. People that have unforgiveness in their heart. People that have compromised in the world somewhere and they won't repent. The Lord dealt with them and they won't repent. They're still doing things that they know is wrong and they won't repent. The Lord is coming back for His people. And He's moving them out of the way so He can judge the world. The great tribulation begins. The rapture will happen before God pours out His vials of wrath on the earth. And I've been, you know, I was taught pre-tribulation, and the way I was taught, it wasn't completely right. And I had to do more research, and the Lord helped me see some things. And He used Irvin Baxter and Pastor Lankford. And I believe that some of the things that they said were right. And Pastor Lankford said that the rapture would happen before. I want to quote him right. I don't want to mess up his words. But I remember him saying that it would happen just before the vow judgments. See, everything else, man can stop it. The false prophet, we can keep him from doing anything through faith. The Antichrist and the false prophet, don't ever forget this. They are under our authority. He who now letteth will let. The church has a full authority to stop that and arrest it. That's why he just can't come out in the open with the church on the ground. He has to neuter the church or neutralize it or make it ineffective and bring people to a point that they don't pray anymore. They have no relationship, and it's too many people for him to do that, that still pray and seek the Lord. The Lord has raised up prophets and men of God to warn us about things that our governments are doing. He has raised up people to show people the plans and plots that they are doing. People that know, that are in the know, that work for these, for the Antichrist and the false prophet, they give deathbed confessions. They tell what they know. So that what they're doing is not really secret. Their attempts are not really secret. God has raised up men and women of God to expose it. I love to listen to Steve Quayle, Tom Horn, their guests, people that they have with them, Timothy Albarino. All God has raised up great men of God to warn us. When I saw Jonathan Cahn, when he wrote the Harbinger and the Schmitter, he showed America point blank that, see, all of our war started on the Schmitter. What's the Schmitter? That's the every seventh year. That's like a seven-year Sabbath, so to speak. When people pile up sins, it on that Shemitah, something happens, good or bad. Whatever you've been doing, the 6 years, so on the seventh year, and it happens around the ninth of off. You know, it's 9/11, the stock market crash, World War I, World War II, and even when they ended. What you have to look at is this. God loves us, and he's showing us some things. Not only that, he wrote the paradigm, and he showed us what our leaders were doing. See, when you look at these kind of warnings on this scale, God, he never does anything until he warned people. We have been warned. So now, when I used to look for the rapture to come, I knew too much was that I hadn't heard any prophets warning, and I said, well, I just didn't believe it was going to happen in those days. I was right. I said, when a notable prophet starts warning, then you can look for some things to happen. God never sent judgment unless he sent a prophet to warn the people so they could pray it off, so they could pray and get right with him. So now, a lot too many preachers have compromised. They've gone lame. They seek after money and power and prestige and they're trying to hold together. You can't hold a church together with compromise. You might as well tell people the truth and be done with it. If people believe a lie, then when the truth comes, they're gonna see when people compromise and they believe they believe the compromise. When the truth comes, they'll challenge the truth. When the Lord sends real warning, real prophets, they'll judge him. Well, he don't talk like my pastor, and they'll turn him up. Pete Christian, they are very finicky once they think they know something. But not all. Just like when there was the Dark Ages, God had a remnant that kept praying, seeking, knocking, asking. And they learned how to get away from the king. Some of them got killed. A lot of them got killed. And this is why America rose out of this. They realized the forefathers, our founding fathers of this country, they knew that men could not be trusted with power. So the people are the king of this country. The president, the Congress, the Senate, and the judicial system, they are the servants. And we elect the man to run it. And it's designed so that no man can have total control. I can't say the word good. They didn't want a total control regime again. It don't work. It never worked. There's no point in history where it ever worked except for when David was king, but he was looking to God. And David, Joab said, "You're worth 1,000 of us. No, there's nobody like him." I mean, when Joab tried to get him not to do a census, and David did it anyway, got in trouble. So a man can't handle that kind of power. Not when you got an enemy like Satan out there that knows how to undo everything. So he can, if his lies, he's all he has is lies. His sorcery is just lies. And he baits men along. He dangle bait in front of them. They really think they're going to get his bait. And they might taste it. They might have a little fun for a while. Then the hooks come in. He controls their life. Did you know the prosperity of a wicked man is just illusion? And the poverty of a God-fearing man is also illusion. God will back his people who love him and follow him. His poverty is illusion. Because over time, he's going to prosper. I'm not talking about do-nothing Christians. I'm talking about people that walk in the love of God and do the word of God. They work as under God. Their poverty is illusion. It's not going to last. God is going to bring them way out of that. Whatever they lack, it's an illusion. At any moment, God can change all of their circumstances, facts, and everything. But he'll use situations to try us and to show us things. And I'm not talking about that weird doctrine of poverty. You know, people say God, he making you go through this to grow you up. No, we grow by the word of God. But see, whatever we lack, as we live the word of God, we're going to grow. And God thinks of everything. It's a blessing that he does. I think of times when if I had more money, I would have went to another job. But the job that I worked, I formed relationships. People lived and went to heaven because God was working in my life. And eventually, I prospered. Whatever I didn't have, I gained. I didn't stay on a poverty level. Now, poverty to some is nothing, having nothing. It's not about how much or how little you have. It's what you're doing. You know, you may not have as much as others. Now, I lived a decent, comfortable life. But compared to a man that makes $200,000 a year, I was poor. Compared to a man that made $15,000 a year, I was rich. So the place in life that I was at, I had to, after being divorced, I had to start over and pay child support. So a lot of things didn't go well, but I made it through it, and things were added to me. It works. The wealth of the wicked is illusion. Those who compromise, their success is illusion. They have no success. If you compromise against God, whatever you think you got, whatever success, whatever you've done with your, it's an illusion. Satan's in control. The wealth of the wicked, a wicked man with wealth, he's not in control of his life. Satan is. Because he practices wickedness as a way of life. Somebody else is pulling his strings. Whoever put him in position, they own him. He can't make his own way. And if it's the devil, he still can't make his own way. He can say, "I'm going to go home and go to bed." He'll go home and go to bed and Satan will trouble him. He won't even be able to go to sleep. He'll drive him to do something that he wants done. He'll threaten him if he has to. He'll bait him. Whatever he does, he will not make his own decisions. He will not spend money the way he really wants to. And he's used to it. He don't know any better. He don't even know that his life is an illusion. Now, to a man that's looking at him, well, he can go buy a car, he can take a trip and go where he wants to, but there's no peace to the wicked. He's not in control of his own destiny, and he's definitely not in control of what's left of his life until he believe on Jesus. Then you got the laws of sowing and reaping. Whatever you got the wrong way, you got to lose it. You're going to lose it. You can't keep it. Nobody ever keeps the loot that they get the wrong way. But those that love God, their poverty is illusion and their success is real. And their wealth is real. Their wealth is not illusion. They have spiritual wealth and natural wealth. Some people have more spiritual wealth than they have natural wealth because they obey God. The laws of sowing and reaping. I'm a mechanic. I work on people's cars. People that live a godly life, their cars last longer. It can be proven. I can prove it. I had receipts for years. I burned them up, the old receipts, but I still have receipts. People that obey God, everything about them lasts longer. And their wealth is not illusion according to how they live. When you follow God, you're in another bracket. You outclass the world system. And our lives is designed to help people come in. We give people information so that they can come forward. People that know the Lord would be strong and do exploits. People that don't know the Lord would be, if they have compromise in their life, they're going to die. They're going to believe a lie, not the truth. And that's what's happening now. There are people that love God today, but there's nothing happening against them. There's no terrible persecution where they are. And they don't study the word. They believe it the way that they were taught it. I believe the pre-tribulation rapture the way I was taught it. But I found a lot of holes in it. See, why would the Lord have to take us? It doesn't make sense for the Lord to give us power over Satan. And then he rapture us so that Satan can't kill us. We have full authority over Satan and the false prophet and the Antichrist and Satan. We have authority over the world system. But the enemy is trying to find a stronghold somewhere. But if Christians will pray like they're supposed to, they can shut it down. But if they believe all the compromising lies that he's going to tell, then the Antichrist will get stronger. And then he's going to kill them unless they worship him. And anybody that takes his mark, they can't get saved. But those that love the Lord and live by the word of God, they will live. They might get killed, but they will live. They can't kill the body. I mean, they can't kill the spirit. They can only kill the body. But that can't happen if you take authority over them. But the problem is people don't teach it that way. People are banking on the rapture to come and move them out of the way. Well, in 2015, 14, when ISIS was chopping Christians' heads off, they were living in a stronghold. Every time they found Christians, they lined them up and put it on YouTube and chopped people's heads off. You know, this is one of the reasons that Donald Trump ran for president, to put a stop to it. And God honored him because he did the right thing. Other presidents did nothing about it. They didn't stop it like he did. Or they didn't do what he did to stop it. He stopped it. We need to be praying that God will raise up people that will do what's right. Not only that, take authority over Satan and make him stop it. Any Christian can do this. You don't need 50. You need one that will obey God. So who will follow God? Who will listen to him? God will show you how to do it. ISIS caught a lady reporter. They captured her. She was supposed to, she was from Britain, I believe. I'm just walking past the TV. I saw it. I told Satan, I said, you will never cut her head off. You will not kill her. I rebuke the spirit of death, and she's going back home. And I meant it. And this really happened. And again, another, see, I don't sit up and watch the news all day. It just happened to be on when I was walking past it. So again, I'm walking past the television, and then the same lady, she was on her way back home. They let her go. We have authority over Satan. Let's use it. We all need to be using authority over Satan. We all need to be in the Word of God. See, the apostles, they didn't do anything without prayer. They didn't just go out and preach. They went to the prayer room and God sent them. They said apostles, that means sent one. Well, first you got to be sent. And they went out there and they did what God said do. And now you got preachers that teach where miracles stop happening when the apostles die. And that's an old doctrine. I hope they don't teach it as much as they used to. But that used to be an old denominational doctrine compromise that they taught. Doctrines of devils. The Holy Spirit didn't stop falling on people. His miracles didn't go anywhere. This ain't the first time it happened. You know, if you read Judges 6, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. This is 6:1. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them, and they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance or food for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass, nothing. They took everything. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, God, he was not involved until they cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppress you, and you drave them. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But ye have not obeyed my voice. See, you can't have victory without obedience. And you can't see miracles with compromise in your heart. So verse 11 said, and there came an angel of the Lord and sat under the oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abizurite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Now look what Gideon said. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. I told you, the poverty of a righteous man is an illusion. And when you study this story, Gideon subdued those enemies because God was with him. Now, he asked a specific question. If the Lord be with us, why does all this happen? It happens because of compromise. They were not serving God. They were serving idols. And before Gideon did all this, he had to turn his father's idols over. And they called him Jerubbaal after that. So listen to me. If you're going to live and see good days, you're going to have to fight back. You're going to have to fill your heart with the word of God and live it. Or the enemy will do the same thing that the Midianites and the Amalekites did against Israel. That's just the way it is. And when you see the disasters happen, if you don't have faith in the Lord, if you don't know the Lord, you will not live.